seeing very high turnover. So turnover is around the first 2 years of employment is around 66%. So basically, it's a third of people are churning through their roles every year, particularly within that 25 to 30 year age range. That's up to 77% of people are changing roles within 2 years.
Welcome to The Green Away. I'm your host, Rosemary Petrus, Senior Journalist at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land and we pay our respects to traditional custodians of country and elders past, present and emerging. 2024 is now officially over. Happy New Year, everyone. And for those who want to get a higher salary and career progression in 2025, this episode is for you. Today, we're going to talk about job trends, the most highly paid roles, and how professionals can level up their salaries in 2025. And of course, that big scary word that's sort of defined the past 2 years, layoffs, and why being laid off might not be such a bad thing. To discuss, we have Richard Evans on the show today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rose. It's great to be here today and Happy New Year, everyone. Excited for 2025.
Richard is CEO of sustainability and ESG recruitment firm Talent Nation. Richard, you recently updated your salary guide. So tell us, what were the key takeaways?
Sure. So for the last 5 years, we've been releasing a remuneration report for the environment sustainability sectors, because there was nothing really out there that people could point to, you know, when thinking about their careers and progression and what is a fair salary for the work that I'm doing. The report's broken down into quantitative and qualitative results, and I think we're going to be talking a little bit later around some of the salaries and some of the roles and who's getting paid really well and maybe where some gaps are. So I guess if we talk to some of the higher level findings at this point, there's always the expectation that salaries increase year on year, and it's constantly lifting. We don't necessarily see that, but there are reasons behind that. So yes, salaries are continuing to increase, but we are seeing a rapid promotion of people in roles. We're seeing very high turnover. So turnover is around the first 2 years of employment is around 66%. So basically, it's a third of people are churning through their roles every year, particularly within that 25 to 30 year age range. That's up to 77% of people are changing roles within 2 years. And part of that is the demand in roles, but just a shortage of key talent across certain areas. We've looked at mandatory disclosures. That's obviously a hot topic at the moment. And organizations that are ready for it. 63% of respondents thought that they were ready for mandatory disclosures. However, 50% are still using spreadsheets. So I think it's going to be a really interesting 12, 18 months ahead as organizations get ready. I should say that this survey, so there was over 1,800 respondents across Australia and New Zealand contributed to this. And it was across four roles within consulting and consulting around ESG and sustainability, four roles within environment, four within sustainability, and three within ESG and sustainable finance. So it's a good spread across the sector and certainly reflects the growth that we've seen over the last number of years. But certainly climate change, net zero, mandatory disclosures, the key priorities that people have coming into 2025. And competing business priorities and access to headcount to actually get through the work were listed as the main challenges. So no surprise there with the current economic climate that competing business priorities has been one of the major hurdles that people have found over the last 12 months.
Some very interesting findings there. What other trends are we seeing? It sounds like the sustainability jobs market is still hot, but has it been affected by the broader jobs market layoffs?
Yeah, the market is still, I wouldn't describe it as hot. I would describe it as warm is probably the best way. So it's patchy in certain areas. So you have some areas where there's just really high demand for talent. And we're seeing mm-hmm. that with, the demand for people with strong analytical skills. Mm-hmm. And And that's only going to get stronger over the next 12 months. You know, we're seeing the big four accounting firms, they're all trying to recruit that talent in as they prepare for their clients getting, or the Group One clients getting ready for mandatory disclosures.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen a lot of churn at very senior levels. So, you know, that the head of chief roles, they've either been very static, or in some instances, you know, we have seen people exit those roles. Again, we'll talk to that a little bit later around what's happening in the space there. So certainly there is still demand for talent in this space. I think we have been shielded a little bit from the broader economic climate within the space. And I guess looking at my peers across the recruitment industry, there's other sectors that have been hit very hard,
mm-hmm.
whereas we've had a steady demand for our services right throughout the last 12, 18 months.
What are the kind of key roles that companies are most looking to fill in 2025?
Again, I feel like a broken record here, but reporting and disclosures is the key element. And I guess the role has shifted over the last 5-10 years. So reporting used to be more of a comms role and mm-hmm. you know, and was looking at the sustainability report and the narrative that sits behind that. It's shifting into compliance and disclosures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are putting numbers out there, then the executive and the board has to be comfortable signing things off. And
mm-hmm.
and I guess that's where we've seen the rollback of some net zero targets that have been publicly made, and then they've been rolled back in mm-hmm. some sectors where there is no viable transition plan for them.
So we're talking about kind of accounting roles there?
It's a bit of a blend, really. So yeah, you're trying to merge an accounting finance professional with ESG
mm-hmm.
and sustainability, and organizations are still trying to get that blend right. So I think it's that balance between strong accounting skills with a passion for environment sustainability
mm-hmm.
or strong sustainability skills, but can level up in terms of non-financial analysis. So, and we're seeing some of these roles actually move in under finance as well. So we're starting to see a bit of a shift in terms of where the function sits within an organization.
Now comes the question that everyone wants to know. For those that want to level up their salaries in 2025, what are the most highly paid roles to aim for, and how can listeners get these kind of lucrative positions?
I'd like to answer this with a warning or a user warning. So it's human nature that we're always striving for bigger, better, higher. And there is scope to level up your salary, but it comes with the warning that if you are getting a significant uplift in your salary, there is an increased expectation on what you need to deliver. And we've seen this at the UN Global Compact, their conference recently. They surveyed 400 people in the room. 23% of the attendees said that they were at burnout. And then was close to the same number again, were very close to burnout. So they were a 4 out of 5.
Wow.
So yes, we are seeing salaries increase. We've been seeing people being promoted rapidly into these roles, but there's increased pressure coming down from the board, from the executive. So if you are going to strive for a more senior role or a role with significantly more accountability and therefore salary, you need to ensure that you've got the support behind you, because we do find that it can be quite an isolating role coming in and trying to turn things around. And we've seen that within sustainable finance and responsible investment over the last 18 months, where small teams have been put in that haven't been there in the past, but the expectation is massive and people are struggling. That was a very negative way to start, but I guess if we look at the roles, so this is the first year that we've surveyed chief sustainability officers, and it's no surprise that they have come in with the highest salaries. You know, it's a role on the executive, and a number of cases, they're blended roles as well. So it may be a chief corporate affairs and sustainability, chief risk and sustainability. So about 50% of roles were blended roles, and certainly individuals are pushing the seven-figure mark, and in some cases above that. So, you know, they are executive roles responsible for the direction of the organization. And the key element there is that these individuals understand how ESG aligns with the company strategy, rather than it sitting on the side and going, okay, well, this is our sustainability or ESG strategy. It's like it needs to be integrated and understanding the role that it has within the broader organizational strategy.
And what kind of salary are they looking at?
So the average salary was just over 600,000.
Oh, wow.
For individuals. And that is what was actually paid out in the last financial year. If you look at actually what was like the package was 759 was the contracted package average for that role. And so you see that it's an executive role. It's not a head of sustainability or head of ESG. It is a role that has significant influence within an organization. And there are not a lot of those roles in mm-hmm. Australia. We also see that a lot of those roles are internal promotions or roles where it's an executive first and ESG second. Heads of sustainable finance and ESG, they were the highest last year. We didn't survey chief sustainability officers, and average salary was static for them, but is just under 500,000 is the average package, like take home package that they received in 2024. And then to a head of environment and then a head of sustainability. So that, I guess if you're looking at the head of roles, the salaries are becoming significant, but so is the pressure as well. Mm-hmm. I guess where we've seen the most movement is probably that sustainability manager role, and people are being promoted into that role very quickly. So the salaries haven't moved very much, but if you look at the years of experiences of individuals in those roles, that's actually declining quite sharply.
As you mentioned, 20 to 25% of these high-level professionals are experiencing burnout. For those listeners that might be experiencing that, do you have any kind of thoughts or advice for them?
There's no easy fix for it. I think the realization is that you're not on your own with this. So if one in four people that you talk to or peers within the space, you'll find that they are in a similar environment.
Mm-hmm.
And often it is down to stakeholder expectations, engagement. And so I think finding mentors or trying to surround yourself with individuals that can support you in the areas that you're struggling. Because often people have been pushing really hard in this space for 10 years to try and get traction. And now it's a case of going, well, what have you been doing? Why aren't we more advanced on this? And so it's almost be careful of what you ask for, and now we've got it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the ability to prioritize, you need to be able to stand your ground as well, which is very challenging, particularly if you haven't been through many of these cycles before. And the ability to prioritize what's important for the organization. For the most part, it is challenging. And the worst outcome for your organization is for you to say, this is too hard, I'm done, because then that leaves them mm-hmm. without a person in that role. You understand the organization, you understand what's required. So seeking that support from a champion internally will certainly help. And lean on your industry peers as well, mm-hmm. where you can, because as I say, they're going through similar challenges. There will be some things that they've found has worked really well in their organizations. And so there may be some things that you can then bring across into yours.
And earlier we talked about layoffs. For those listeners that might have been laid off recently, what advice can you give them?
There used to be a lot of stigma around redundancies and layoffs. It's so common these days. And it sounds flippant to say, oh, well, it's really common. And until you've actually gone through that situation, no one can explain the feeling. In most cases, it's someone who has no connection to what you're doing or the role that you're undertaking, and it's a line that's put mm-hmm. through a spreadsheet. So it's not personal, and often an organization will hide behind that and go, well, it's not personal, it's a business decision. Again, that doesn't make it any easier. The good thing is that being laid off or taking a package is not a negative on your CV. It's not something that certainly recruiters or companies look at and go, okay, well, there's a red flag there. It is often a good time to reset, though, as well. And often we don't think about the next role that we want to take until we get a phone call saying, are you interested in this role? And all of a sudden you're in the process, and before you know it, you've started a new job. So particularly if you have received some sort of payout and that does give you a little bit of breathing space to actually reflect and go, okay, well, what was it about my last role that I really enjoyed? What didn't I enjoy? Like, if I could craft the ideal role, what would it look like? And so often it is the leadership team, it's your manager, it's the support that you get to enable your growth and development that people often overlook. So I certainly see it as the calm before the storm at the moment. I'm almost nervous about the year ahead, because I think there will be a huge shortage of talent, but talent in specific areas.
So good news for applicants looking for a new role in 2025. Richard, thank you so much for your time today. Where can listeners find your salary guide?
So it'll be listed on our website, so www.talentnation.com.au. We will have an executive summary on there. All participants receive a free copy, but for any non-participants, we do ask for a donation to our charity partner, One Girl. But also we'll make sure that your listeners have got links to any of the information that they require. But it is all publicly available on our website.
Until next time then, I'm Rosemary Petras, and thank you for listening to The Green Away.
The Green Away podcast is a product of FS Sustainability, a show about people, the planet, and investing in our collective future. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. The Greener Way podcast gives listeners access to information and educational content provided by discussing numerous financial sustainable options and our featured guests. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of The Greener Way are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement, and if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.